You're listening to SBS News.
What we try to do in cognitive therapy is to get the person to look at the gloomy, unrealistic thinking that they have and to examine their problems. And we try to get them to evaluate it and see if it's accurate. And if it's inaccurate, then to help them to correct it.
That's Aaron T. Beck speaking to the BBC in 1997 when he first developed what he called cognitive therapy. It went against many traditional ideas of psychotherapy. The renowned psychiatrist died on November the 1st, aged 100. When he first introduced the therapy, it went against many traditional ideas of psychotherapy.
Well, I think particularly when you're dealing with depressed people, one of the problems is that many therapists actually get sucked into the gloomy perspective that many depressed people have. And if you can keep your wits about you and look at the bright side of things, it helps the patient a great deal to see that there is a bright side at the end of the tunnel.
But CBT is more than just telling people to cheer up, things aren't that bad. David Clark is Professor of Experimental Psychology at Oxford University.
The key idea behind it is that when we become anxious or depressed or angry, it's not just to do with the things that have happened to us, but also the way we think about them. Cognitive behavior therapy focuses firstly on those excessively negative thoughts and helps you to put things in perspective, but also it focuses on helping you identify unhelpful behaviors which are keeping the problem going. If you become depressed and feel there's not much point to doing anything, then you'll withdraw from social activities, you might do very little. And so as well as tackling some of your negative thoughts, the therapist would help you get going in terms of increasing your activity, and it's those two things together that make it so powerful.
By the early 2000s, Professor Clark was convinced that CBT could be a great help to the many people suffering from depression and anxiety. But despite the clinical arguments, he'd had no luck in persuading the British government to offer it as part of the country's free National Health Service. That is, until a chance meeting with an economist called Richard Layard.
We were waiting in a long queue for a cup of tea, and he asked me what I did, and I explained I worked on psychological therapies. And he said, well, I don't see them being very widely available. Why aren't they if they work so well? And I explained, well, I don't know either, because they should be. He then said, well, but presumably you've pointed out that we would save a lot of money for the economy if we help people overcome their anxiety and depression. And I said, well, no, I hadn't really been running that argument. And he looked at me in amazement and said, well, why don't we get together and run that argument together? People, when they're at work, may not really be able to concentrate on the job very much at all because their mind is on their worries and concerns. And so they're much less productive. It's estimated that that phenomenon we call presenteeism reduces the gross domestic product, you know, the size of the economy in most Western nations by 2 percentage points. And then, of course, some other people find it very difficult to even go to work because of their anxiety or depression. And that sort of absenteeism reduces the size of our economy by about 2 percentage points.
David Clark and Richard Layard started lobbying the government to roll out CBT across England. This is what Richard Layard was saying in 2008.
The kind of therapy which is now going to be rolled out for depression and anxiety disorders is a very carefully worked out way of helping people to question their negative thinking and to focus on the positive aspects of themselves. And I think that that kind of message is a very important one.
CBT and other related psychotherapies are now offered to around 1 million patients in the UK every year through their local doctors, free of charge. But there are huge waiting lists, and private treatment is prohibitively expensive for most people. Meanwhile, Canada, Israel and Australia are all trying similar programs encouraging psychotherapy before drug treatments for many mental health problems. In Australia, a general practitioner can refer people to a CBT therapist or help them find a counsellor or psychologist experienced in it. Patients may be eligible for a mental health plan by their doctor to access Medicare rebates for CBT. Rebates are available for up to 20 sessions of psychological treatment, which can be face-to-face or via Zoom or telehealth if a patient lives in a remote area. There are also several online CBT programs. Some of them are free. Clinical psychologist Amanda Baker from the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of Newcastle told the ABC that CBT can also be an effective treatment for addiction to crystal methamphetamine, or ICE.
Even a few sessions has been shown to really reduce methamphetamine use. And in fact, just a few sessions of counselling doubles the rate of abstinence compared to no treatment at all. If you have as many as four sessions of counselling, then that also tends to help the quite severe depression that can also accompany the methamphetamine use as well.
Professor Clark believes the acceptance of CBT shows there's been a turnaround in terms of the approach of the medical profession to mental health.
Yes, I think there has been that fundamental shift. The fact that the new therapies have good evidence for them and GPs see the results means that in general, I think the medical profession is much more enthusiastic of the fact that CBT is a really quite brief therapy that can be delivered at large scale on the NHS is a very different proposition.
Alan Lee, SBS News.